If you'll open your Bible, please, to James chapter 5, verse 16. I want to talk to you today about the value of prayer. You know, we really never know what the value of something's going to be, really. And I can think of a lot of illustrations of that. But I was reading here in the January-February AARP bulletin. Now, why I received that, I have not a clue. But I do. And you know, interestingly, I said something yesterday to one of the ministers about that little, I call it a magazine. They call it the AARP bulletin. It really has some very interesting stuff in it. It really does. In fact, even if you're too young to get it, you'll send in your money, they'll send it to you. But really some very interesting stuff. But one of the most interesting things I read, weeks ago, and I thought, man, somehow I'll use that somehow or another in a sermon. But I was reading this little article about Albert Einstein. And now, if you take that, you've already read the article. But be that as it may, in 1922, according to that article, he was in Japan on a speaking lecture tour. And one morning in the hotel where he was staying, a bellman, now remember this is 1922, he had a message to deliver to Albert Einstein's room. And so he went and knocked on the door, and Albert Einstein came to the door and handed him the message. And the article said that Einstein put his hands in his pocket trying to find some coins to give this bellman a tip, and he didn't have anything to give him. And so what he did, he took a piece of hotel stationery, and he just wrote something on the stationery. Now, here's what he wrote. He wrote, this is really pretty good, "A calm and modest life brings more happiness than the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness." Now, but then he signed his name, Albert Einstein. Then the article said he picked up another piece of hotel stationery, and he wrote, and I quote, "Where there's a will, there's a way." And he again signed his name and gave those two pieces of paper to that bellman. I'm sure that was not exactly the kind of tip that guy was looking for. I thought about this last night. I was eating up at Jimmy Chonga's, and I thought, I think I'll just get a piece of paper and write this guy some clever thing and sign my name. Probably sign my name some Methodist minister or something, let him get mad at them. But anyway, long story short, somebody in that bellman's family, some relative, somehow or another wound up with these two sheets of paper with these little statements with Albert Einstein's name signed. And somehow he winds up in Jerusalem, and they have an auction, and they auction off these two, and they brought $1.8 million. That is quite a deal, you know. Well, you never know what something's value really is. In your life, in my life, I was thinking this morning just of, you know, I could tell you thing after thing after thing that I got involved in or bought or whatever, and, you know, was told, boy, one day this is going to really be worth something. You ever done that? And, you know, it turned out to be worth nothing. And then other things you sometimes maybe buy, purchase, and you think, I don't know if this thing will ever amount to a hill of beans or not. Well, be that as it may, that just kind of got my mind going, and I thought, but there's one thing. There are really many things, but there's one thing that I have time to talk about today that we do know the value, and that is prayer. I want to talk to you today about prayer. You say, oh, my gracious. Folks, let me tell you, prayer is where the power is. Prayer, and the devil knows that, and that's why the devil does so many different things to keep us from being serious about prayer. So if you look on page 1075, you're in James chapter 5, verse 16. And if you look right in the very middle of that verse, verse 16, there's one of the most profound statements on prayer in all the Bible. It says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman," matters not, gender is not the issue here, "avails much." And I've read that in several different translations, and you know, this is just the way I memorized it, but really some of the other translations even better. But the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So one thing we know about prayer, prayer is valuable. I mean, the value of prayer is absolutely unbelievable. And the Bible, of course, as you think about all the prayers in the Bible, that'd be a good sermon series there. You know, maybe if you preached on all the prayers of the Bible, that'd be a lot of prayers, but maybe select some. But I was just thinking, as I thought about the value of prayer, thinking about what James says here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I thought, you know, the Bible is just full with examples of the value of prayer. Now, if you'll turn back to page 31 in your Bible, you'll be in the book of Genesis, and I think you'll be in chapter number 32. I just was thinking about some of the prayers in the Bible that, I've been in Exodus. I better get in Genesis, excuse me. Genesis chapter 32. I want you to see a prayer. One of the prayers that really came to my mind because I just read this recently in my Bible reading plan that I'm following in 2018. But it's a prayer that Jacob prayed. You know the deal Jacob pulled on his brother Esau. And thing didn't look like it was going to turn out too well. But in chapter 32, hopefully that is page number 31 in your Bible. If you look down in verse 9, Genesis chapter 32, verse 9, here is this prayer. See, Jacob is about to come face to face with his brother, which he's kind of swindled out of his birthright. You remember that story? And then he and his mother, boy, what a mother he had, they concoct that scheme, you know, and he wound up getting the blessing instead of his older brother. And now they're about to meet one another, and he's scared to death. So in verse 9, the Bible says, then Jacob said, here's his prayer. Now look at this prayer. It's a great prayer. O God, my father, Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Now he's praying to God. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I've crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. And then look what he asked God to do. He said, God, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. He wanted to be sure God knew which brother he was talking about. He said, for I fear him. He's scared to death. And rightly so, lest he come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, now he's still praying to God, this prayer. You said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. That is a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Now, go over in the very next chapter, if you will, in chapter 33, one verse. I want to show you the value of that prayer. They did meet. And in chapter 33, verse number 4, the Bible says, Esau, that's his brother, that he was afraid, ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. So here, you know, I'm not just picking out, I mean, there are a lot of prayers in the Bible. You read what they prayed to God, these people, and then you see the value of that prayer and how things worked out in such a wonderful way. Let me show you one other. Well, another. Turn over to page 321. Page 321, you'll be in the book of 1 Kings. And boy, you talk about a prayer. On page 321, you're in 1 Kings chapter 17. In chapter 17, look at verse 17, because you have a prayer that Elijah prayed to revive a widow's son who had died. The Bible says in verse 17, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. It means he's dead. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Now, see, she didn't understand the nature of God. God doesn't go around killing people because if that were the truth, all of us would be dead. We wouldn't be having Tuesday Bible lunch. That's not the deal. That's a warped theology. But now sometimes sin is a cause of death. That's another matter. And he said to her, here's what Elijah said. He said, give me your son. So she took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then, now here comes his prayer. Elijah cried out to the Lord and said, and here's what he said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? And then here's what he did. He stretched himself out on the child three times, and then he cried out to the Lord. Now here comes his prayer. O Lord God, my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him. And the Bible tells us that God heard that prayer, of course, and brought him back to life. It's a tremendous, tremendous example of the value. We'll not turn to it, but you remember the story about Paul and Silas. It's in Acts chapter 16. They were in the jail over in Philippi, and it says at midnight they were praying and singing. Now, I don't know what they were praying. The Bible doesn't tell us. Their prayer, it just says they were praying and singing. Of course, you know what happened. A miracle took place, the value of prayer. But then as I was thinking about the value of prayer, not only all these prayers in the Bible, I thought about, you know, the opportunities that come as a result of prayer. I've learned that. I really have. In my own prayer time this morning, I was praying, just kind of following along kind of what I do. And in the very middle of that, it's just like the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart about something I was not even praying about. And I got so excited about it, I stopped for a few minutes and called out the church to ask some of the people here to do some things that I need to get done this afternoon that I feel like God put in my heart this morning. I'm just simply saying, it's amazing. You can be praying about something, and God, it just seems like it puts you in some kind of position. I wish it happened every day. I wish, folks, here's the deal. Every time I pray, God tells me something. No, that's not the way it is. But I am saying this. One of the great values of prayer, the opportunities that seem to open when we're serious about prayer. We'll not turn to it. But in Acts chapter 3, you know, there's this story about Peter and John one day at prayer time going to the temple to pray. Y'all remember that story? And there was that lame man there. And of course that man, they healed him, and he jumped up and picked up his pallet and took off. And he'd been that way for over 40 years. He'd been born that way. Well, the point of that is this. I was thinking about that. Like, had they not been going to the temple to pray, they never would have encountered that guy. Now, some of you would say, well, somebody else would have come along. Well, you're just trying to mess up my Tuesday Bible lunch message, what you're trying to do. I'm not going to try to read between the lines. I'm just simply saying, the Bible says one day Peter and John are walking to the temple to pray. And on the way, here's this man with a physical need, and a miracle took place. So they were going to prayer, and it gave them the opportunity to do something that is absolutely wonderful. Let me tell you another value of prayer. Not only the opportunities, but it's the change that prayer makes in your own life. Now, this sounds kind of selfish, you know, and I don't mean it to be, but it's a fact. Prayer may not change things, but prayer will change you. Prayer will change me. Sometimes it changes the things. But if you're serious about prayer, I mean, if it's just one of these deals where you're going to tip your hat to God and bow your head and now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, for I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. We all learned that a long time ago. Well, I mean, that's a good prayer for a little child. But, of course, I hope all that happens when I die. But I'm talking about a serious level of prayer where we really are serious, that we know God hears our prayers and we talk to God. Well, a great example, I'll tell you, turn over in on page 486. Probably one of my very favorite chapters in the whole Bible is on that page in your Bible. That's Psalm 13. I have one sermon. I've preached it a bunch of different times, a bunch of different ways, but I love Psalm 13. It's this psalm, I hope you're on page 486, Psalm 13. I hope my numbers are right. If they're not, just know, I'm at a point in life where sometimes I get my numbers mixed up. But anyway, Psalm 13, you know, David's running, fearful his son's going to kill him. And it's quite a, you want to see the difference, the change that prayer makes in a man's life. Look in verse 1. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Folks, you can't get any lower than think God's forgotten you. Could I have an amen to that? Have you ever been there? Well, we all have. Where's God? What's the deal? Well, that's where he was. "How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul daily?" These first two verses, everything he says is a question. You know, sometimes life's like that. It's just a big old question. But look in verse 3 and 4. He prays this prayer, verses 3 and 4. But what I want you to see, verses 5 and 6, and look how it ends in verse 6. "I will sing to the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." You talk about an example of a man change. In the beginning of this chapter, everything about his life is a question mark. He thinks God's forgotten him. At the very end, after he prayed, verses 3 and 4 is a prayer, beautiful prayer. But now he says, "I will sing to the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Look over on page 495. David is another great example here. On page 495, you, I hope, are in Psalm 32. I'm there. Now, in the beginning of Psalm 32, of course, Psalm 32, you know, Psalm 51 is where David confessed his sin with Bathsheba. But over here in Psalm 32, I mean, Psalms are not in chronological order of how they happen. He's talking about the difference that his confession of his sin made. He's saying, "Blessed," verse 1, "is he whose transgression is forgiven." That word means happy. "Whose sin is covered." Happy. "Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit." But now, look what he tells how he was. He said, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." That's a bad shape to be in. But see, after he confessed his sin, we're back in Psalm 51, then he's talking about, man, how happy I am now. My transgressions are forgiven. My sin is covered, et cetera, et cetera. So these are great, great examples of the value of prayer. Now, here's what I'm going to do today. I want to encourage you. It's still January, and you know, my fear is if we're going to do any, you know, if we're going to make any changes that are significant, this month is the best month to get the most people to do it. Now, you can make changes in July. I understand that. But just the masses of people, what I know is this, you know, if we used to call them New Year's resolutions. Well, you don't hear much about that anymore because we never meant to keep them to start with. But I do hope you have looked at your life seriously and said, you know, there are some things that I can do better, that I can do different. And maybe don't try to do 100, but zero in on some of those. This whole area of prayer, I just want to encourage you. Now, we're all different and we do things a different way. But I think most of us that have a checkbook, in the checkbook, we have that thing where you record your checks. I doubt there's anybody here who's got so much money, you say, "I don't even have to worry about that. I just write the checks and know it's there." Well, if so, would you see me after the meeting? I'd like to talk to you about some ways you could be a blessing. But seriously, you know, we keep up with our taxes. We keep up with when this is due and that's due. I mean, we keep records of things. We have to do that. But when it comes to the spiritual life, it's like, well, it's spiritual, you know. We can't do anything tangible because it's spiritual. Well, I don't know where that comes from. One of the best blessings of my life, one of the greatest blessings of my life is my prayer, daily journal, where I record what I'm praying. And, maybe this is just not your cup of tea, but I'm telling you what, I wish you'd try. Each year I get me a new look, you know, a new year, a new book. I think a new book will make me do better, new shoes, I'll preach better. Maybe not, I just won't preach as long because my feet hurt. But anyway, this thing, it blesses me so like today, and today's a good illustration. I've not finished my prayer time exactly today. Like, this is not something I just do and say, okay, that's over. I'll check on that tomorrow. As the day journeys along, I add things. But then the joy of this thing is to go back and look. I'm looking here. I go back in prayers that God has answered. And sometime, I don't know what to pray. And I just write the thing down, put a question mark. I've had my little shorthand. You know, that just means what, you know, I don't know exactly what to pray, but God knows what needs to be, and I'm going to trust the Lord with that. I want to encourage you, get your little prayer journal and jot in it what scriptures you read that day, and it kind of holds you accountable. And then, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't try to turn it into a book. Just a little word or two, a little phrase, like, you know, I'm looking at one of my, well, I'm looking for somebody I prayed for. Well, I pray John 15:11 for every family member every day. John 15:11. You say, what is that? Well, go home and get your Bible and read it. John 15:11. I pray it every day for Dottie, John, Joel, Charlie Joe, and of course, little Charlie Joe and Joel Jr. wouldn't understand it yet, but I do pray that for them. But anyway, I'm just saying, prayer is where the power is. The best thing that I do, the best time I use as pastor of this church is the time I spend in prayer. And Dr. Kendall reminded us when he was here, the average minister, all churches, all Christian churches, the average prayer time for ministers, 4 minutes a day. 4 minutes a day. That is pathetic. That is pathetic. Look, you'll be a better whatever you are if you'll just make yourself spend some time in prayer. There's value to prayer. And Father, God, if I could do whatever to get people to build some prayer time, it doesn't have to be 2 hours. Now, for some of us, it's longer than others. Some of us are blessed. We can do that longer than others. We just are blessed in life. That's part of what we are, what we do. But God, I know this. When I'm prayed up, I do better. And when I've skimped or been lax, whatever, it's just that day's not going to be the same. So I pray and ask you, God, help us before this month's over to wherever we are in our daily prayers, add to it, build on it. And God, we thank you. There's value in it. In Jesus' name, amen.